Welcome back to the Iowa Blog. I am your host, Craig Wynn. In our last program, which was the eighth program, and this is the ninth, on our presentation of the 89th Mizmor, Dode's song, we left at a place that is really interesting as it relates to what God had to say about his beloved son. Just by way of introduction, I want you to have an appreciation for the fact that the 89th Mizmor, this song, was actually written by Yahweh himself. It was scribed as the cornerstone of the home for his name was set on what's called the Temple Mount. 7 years later, his home on earth would be completed, and there would be a stunning announcement from his son, Solomon, one that we will consider on this evening's Family Hour program. But on this day, 4 years after Dode's departure from his first of three lives, Yahweh wanted us to have an appreciation for what the most important man who ever lived meant to him and means to us. In the religions that have forgotten who the Messiah actually is, like Judaism, have no concept that God actually has a son, like Judaism, or that God fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim so that we might be immortal, perfected, and be adopted into his covenant family. Or for religions that have done even worse, counterfeited, fraudulently, creating a misnomer to deceive the world into believing that it wasn't Dode who fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim. It wasn't Dode who was the Messiah and Son of God. No, it was their misnomer, Jesus Christ. The 89th Mizmor, which Twistians carry around in their Bibles, completely eviscerates the religion, as it does Judaism, even though they recognize that it's part of their Tanakh. But more than annihilate these two belief systems, Christianity and Judaism, the 89th Mizmor tells all who will listen who God is, what Yahweh is offering, through whom, how we capitalize on the gift of eternal life, our perfection, admission into his family, enrichment, and empowerment, and through whom all of this was accomplished, when, why, how, of our reconciliation with our God, as well as what the covenant relationship is really all about, which is God empowering and enriching our lives. So with that known, I'm going to proceed with the next statement in this part 9 of Dode's song. God said, I will establish, I will appoint and preserve his seed, that which he sows and his offspring, Zerahu, as an eternal witness forever, and his throne will be equated to the days of heaven. Mizmor, lyrics to sing, Psalm 89:29. Can you process what you just heard? Let me repeat it. I want you to contemplate the importance of each word. God, the creator of the universe, the author of life, the one offering the Bereth covenant, said, I will establish, Zim, I will appoint, I will preserve Zerahu, his seed, that which he sows, and his offspring. Recognize that Zerah is the basis of Zeruah, of which three men are afforded that title, with Dode being the most important of them. Zerah means to sow seeds that take root and when cultivated, grow into a productive harvest. The Torah also defines Zeruah as the sacrificial lamb. The three men who were Zeruah that are defined by what Yahweh just said are my teacher, Dod. Should be my teacher. Well, Dod was my teacher, but I meant to say Moshe. Moshe, the man who withdrew the children of Israel out of religious and political constraints and control, who taught them Yahweh's name and his Torah teaching, who then escorted them from being enslaved, being controlled, being fleeced, being taken advantage of by the religious and political establishment of Mitzrayim, the crucibles of human oppression, to the doorstep of the promised land. He was the first of three Zeruah. The second, of course, and the greatest Zeruah, according to Yahweh, is his son, Dod, because he was the sacrificial lamb who fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim. And the last of the Zeruah is myself. It is a title that Yahweh afforded to the mission that we are collaborating on, because there are two harvests upcoming, Shavuah and Teruah. And he wants the maximum number of qualified individuals to be gathered in and taken home. He wants all who will listen to come to appreciate what he has achieved through his son in the fulfillment of the first three Moed Mikre, so that we can be part of his family and live forever in his presence. This is the job of the final Zeruah, as he prepares the way, as a voice calling out in the wilderness of words for his arrival with his beloved son. And as a result of our relationship being reconciled on Kippurim, we will all, Sukkah, camp out with our Heavenly Father. All of this taking place in September and early October of 2033, which is year 6000 Yah. So Yahweh says, I will establish his seed and that which he sows and his offspring, Zerahu, as an eternal witness to the restoring testimony forever. Doesn't sound much like God's interested in changing plans, does it? Doesn't seem much like God's interested in replacing Dod, David, with someone else, does it? Doesn't seem much like there's the possibility that Goyim replaced Yehudim, that a Gentile church somehow came into favor, and that God stepped away from the descendants of Dod, Yehudim. Doesn't much sound like God's going from the Torah to a God-forsaken New Testament, or much even worse in some ways, the Talmud, something he will reemphasize here in a moment. Dod was not only the king Yahweh selected, he is the returning king of the universe. Dod will be sovereign forevermore. He is returning as Melech king and will sit on the very throne that God has established for him forevermore, beginning on Yom Kippurim, the Day of Reconciliations, immediately after he anoints the Kippurah, the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, and then ushers in the millennial Shabbat on Sukkah. All this taking place in year 6000 Yah, all beginning 6:22 p.m. as the sun sets in Jerusalem, October 2nd. 2033. Mark your calendars. Be there. And his throne will be equated to the days of heaven. You know what the equation is to the days of heaven? You're familiar with light and the relationship between light and time? Do you understand the relativity of time and how time does not flow at the same pace for every observer? Do you understand that as we are transformed from mortal beings to light energy, that we will be able to maneuver in seven dimensions, not stuck in three, and that time will no longer be something that constrains us, moving slowly, methodically in one direction, but something that we'll be able to navigate with them. Time will make us immortal. On a photon of light, all time exists simultaneously. We can witness the future in our past, which is how prophecy becomes future history. So in heaven, time simply and profoundly is. So the covenant's children are the beneficiaries of what Dode has sown. And as a result of what he has sown, we are his offspring. We are the beneficiaries of his fulfillment of Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim. We become the firstborn children of Yahweh, the legacy of the harvest that he has enabled. Through the Son, the Father has built a family. As a result, his place of honor and his offspring endure forever, as replete with time as are the days of heaven. We now know that the spiritual abode of God has a seat of honor, indeed a throne, one with Dode's name scribed upon it. Therefore, it is not just throughout the millennial kingdom that we should expect to see Dode shepherd his flock, but in heaven and throughout eternity as well. This, by the way, reinforces the fact that Dode lived three lives. This particular mizmor was scribed, as I shared with you, 3.5 to 4 years after the conclusion of Dode's first of three lives. It was written to coincide with the laying of the cornerstone of the house for Yahweh's name on the Temple Mount. And Dode would then come back to be our Savior by fulfilling Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim, becoming the firstborn of Yahweh, as this mizmor attests, in year 4,000 Yah. And then, 2,000 years thereafter, 40 Yobel, Dode then will return to be the king of eternity. This handsome fellow that is co-hosting the show with me, this is Wookie. Many of you come to know Wookie. Wookie is a special personality, and he likes to be in front of the camera, not just off to the side on my beloved producer's couch. Now, if we wish to be in Shamaim with Dode, it's important that we realize that where there is free will, there are choices to be made. There are alliances to be established and others to be broken. Dode chose wisely, electing to closely examine and carefully consider Yahweh's Torah. His 109th Mizmor Psalm, the 22-stanza alphabetic presentation of the Torah, arranged in the alphabetical order of the 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, remains one of the crowning achievements of his life, second only to his fulfillment of the first three Moed Mikre. Unfortunately, those misled by the likes of Paul and Akiva, even Muhammad, will face the consequences. Well, it's not unfortunate they'll face the consequences. I can't wait to convict them. But they chose poorly. And in particular, Yehudim, the descendants of Dode, have run afoul of this. This is a statement that is also reinforced about 300 years after this was spoken by Yahweh. He inspired his prophet Hosha to understand the same thing, that Yahweh's children are negated. They literally cease to exist as a result of being ignorant. regarding Yahweh's Torah. And don't think for a moment that those woolly-haired, black-suited numbskulls parading around as if they were special as rabbis, and their Talmud is a Torah. They lie to themselves and to everyone, saying that they're Torah observant, and they need to study their Torah. Well, that is their Torah. It's the Talmud. It is their arguments among themselves. The Torah exists of what Yahweh inspired Moshe to write and to say, full stop. The Torah is Yahweh's teaching and guidance. It is not his law. Torah does not mean law. It means source of directions and teaching and guidance. And there isn't even a Hebrew word for obey, but there are plenty for listen and observe. So Yahweh wants you to know. However, if his children, his descendants, continue to forsake, ignore, or reject my Torah teaching and guidance, and if they make a habit of failing to walk according to my means to justly resolve disputes, if they perpetually view my clearly communicated prescriptions for living, and further, if they consistently fail to observe the instructive terms of the relationship agreement, then I will hold them accountable with the full measure of their religious rebellion and popular political revolt. The consequence of their deviation from the way and their wrongdoing will be a pestilence which causes widespread death. Well, based on that, there could be a zero possibility that God was in favor of, inspired, contributed to the Babylonian Talmud. There is a zero possibility based upon this last statement that God inspired, encouraged, supports a New Testament. Those who wrote these things were nothing but deceivers. They spoke against God. It is his Torah teaching, which is comprised of the first five books. Those books which were scribed and spoken by Moshe. I say scribed and spoken because really the first four of them are either Yahweh's, well, the first is entirely Yahweh's dictation, really, to Moshe. And then the next three are Yahweh's narration of what he was doing for and with the children of Yisrael. And it concludes with Moshe providing the most inspiring speeches ever offered that crystallize the purpose and the meaning of the Torah and explain the kind of relationship that Yahweh seeks to achieve with us. Yahweh loves to filter his instructions and guidance through the men he chooses. And this way, Yahweh, who is supremely brilliant, Yahweh, who thought processes and thinking capacity and vocabulary and understanding so vastly exceed ours, can be filtered through some exceptional men who are exceedingly intelligent, thoughtful, and articulate, who then can explain what God is saying to his people in a way that we mortal humans can understand. Moshe was the first to do so. Dode the second. I'm the third. Now, in that period of time, there have been lots of prophets, including the first two names on that list that I just shared with you. Moshe was a prophet. He predicted the future with Yahweh's inspiration. Dode has many, many prophecies. And there were many prophets, before and after Dode. I think we have about 20 of them that have left a written legacy, probably 40 in all, not all of which, though, we have prophetic statements for. And some of the prophets are prophets not because they issued a prophecy, but because their interactions with God, the things that they did serve as prophetic witnesses for what's to come. For example, Abraham is called a prophet, not because he ever issued a prophecy, because he didn't, but because what he did with Yishak on Mount Moriah, when he fulfilled Pesach with Yahweh's assistance, exactly 40 Yobel before Dod would serve as the Passover lamb, was prophetic of the main event. Elia wasn't a man who issued prophetic pronouncements of things that are going to happen in the future. But Elia's participation in the condemnation and the rebuke, the debate against, the utter disdain for the political and religious establishment of Israel serves as a harbinger, serves as a prophetic pronouncement for when he's going to be the master of ceremonies over a very, very similar event. This one on Teruah on September 24th, 2033. And this time, that bull is going to be named the Adamah Parah. And it once again will be Yahweh who provides the flame. And this time he will also provide the water. And it will have a profound effect on the surviving remnant of Yisrael. So there are prophets in that regard. And there are many people who, both as prophets and as witnesses, are responsible for explaining Yahweh's testimony so that everyone can understand it. So God goes on to say that these individuals, so beginning at the beginning here of the sentence, because there's a lot that God says here. However, if his children, his descendants, continue to forsake, ignore, and reject my Torah. Now, what this means is that by 3000 Yah, which is exactly when these lyrics were first revealed to us, 3000 Yah, 968 BCE, that when Yah revealed this, the children of Israel had already habitually ignored and forsaken his Torah. That means that they were neglecting his teaching. And the consequence of this would soon become evident, because within a matter of years, Solomon lost it. And he lost control of Yisrael, the kingdom that Dod had unified and brought into this beautiful home of Jerusalem, because Solomon found, his ongoing affairs with women who were religious, who had other agendas, too enticing, and he lost focus of his relationship with Yahweh. So he's saying, if you continue, Yisrael, and it continues to this day, because in Judaism, for example, they parade the Torah around dressed up like a whore. They put it in all sorts of covers and caskets and just the most ridiculous thing. They kiss it and they dance around with it. They do everything but follow it. They do everything but observe it. They do everything but listen to what Yahweh actually said. And so God says, if you ignore and you reject my Torah teaching, my guidance, and then he has a continued list here, and you even make a habit of failing to walk. Now, this is directed right at Judaism, because they have their halakha, which is their walk, but their walk is all defined by rabbis, not by Yahweh. And if they make a habit of failing to walk, lo halak, according to my means to justify and resolve disputes, ba mishvatani. Mishvat is based on shafat, and ma means to ponder the implications of shafat, which means to decide, to exercise good judgment, to resolve disputes. Our dispute with Yahweh, our guilt that would have us be convicted, was resolved by Dod working with Yahweh when he fulfilled matzah, when our guilt was carried off and deposited in Sheol. This, if we use good judgment and accept what they have offered, renders us innocent in God's eyes. If they perpetually view my clearly communicated prescriptions for living with contempt, chukka. A chukka is a condition that has been inscribed. And further, if they continually fail to observe the instructive terms of the relationship agreement, the mitzvah. The mitzvah explain what God is expecting from us if we wish to participate in his family. There are five conditions, and what he's offering in return if we accept his conditions. And there are five benefits. These are the mitzvah. And he wants us to shamar them, which is to observe them. That's Mizmor 89:31. Then I will hold them accountable. Now, this is if they forsake any of those things. I will hold them accountable with the full measure of their religious rebellion and popular political revolt, pesha, of their defiance and contrarian nature. When Yahweh speaks of something like pesha, it is a widespread revolt. God's just not into, doesn't really care about the kinds of things that Roman Catholics or rabbis, or particularly Muslims, would refer to as sins. Most of that stuff is meaningless to them. The little stuff of daily life, ugh. I mean, Dode was a perfect example of that. It messed up on all sorts of little things, personal things. What God's concerned about is religious and political revolt. He's concerned when we miss the way that he has provided and we mislead others in that regard. And so these are societal and collective concerns. The consequence of their deviation from the way and from their wrongdoing will be a pestilence which causes widespread death. There is no pestilence more virile or more catastrophic as it relates to killing vast populations than religion. And second only to religion is politics, which is God, why God hates these beasts. This is 89:32. According to God, the souls who neglect the Torah die. The consequence of ignoring Yah's teaching is to endure the plague of death. To reject God's guidance is to be held accountable. There is no substitute, no getting around this fact. Not with the Talmud, not with the Gospels, and certainly not with the Quran. The Torah is key. And it is what opens heaven's door. It provides Yahweh's means to resolve disputes. And since Passover and unyeasted bread fall within the depictions of the guidance in the Torah, and since this psalm is devoted to Dod as the Son of God and the Messiah, as well as the King of Kings, you should see the correlation that Dod is the man who walked out of the pages of the Torah to fulfill its centerpiece, Pesach, Matz, and Bikurim, so that he could be heralded and return on Kippurim to celebrate a return to the garden on Sukkah. On behalf of the first thing that God talks about in any great detail, which is the covenant family, the Bereth. Dod embodies these things. The Torah and Dod are like this. Moshe revealed the Torah to us. Dod lived it. My job is to tell you about it so that you understand the roles they have played. Within the Torah, we find Yah's clearly communicated prescriptions for living. We find, of course, Bikurim and Shavuah, which are two of the harvests. Bikurim is a barley harvest very early in the year. It's the result of what Dod accomplished on Pesach and Matzah. Shavuah is a harvest of varieties of wheats. It represents both the ingathering of Goyim and Yehudim, young and old, rich and poor, men and women. It is an open invitation, if you will, to hear the message that Yahweh is conveying, and then to decide if you want to meet the conditions that are required for those who wish to participate. And then, of course, on Teruah, which leads to Kippurim and makes the Sukkah camping out with God experience possible. To deviate from Yahweh's Torah teaching through religious rebellion has devastating consequences, causing widespread death. Consider the fate of Jews since they last accepted Dode guidance in this regard, since they actually listened to Yahweh when Moshe shared what he had said. Do you know how antagonistic the Jewish people were during the Exodus? Do you know how many times and how many different ways they turned on both Moshe and Yahweh? Do you know that there was constant rebellion and bitterness? Do you know that the children of Israel told Yahweh, "We never want to see you or hear from you again"? Yehudim are Yahweh's chosen people, but they have not chosen Yahweh in return. And that is my mission, to change that. They have erased his name from their lives. My primary purpose is to reacquaint them. They have no concept of who Dode, David, really is, what he stands for, what he accomplished, what he's offering, what he represents in their lives, what he will mean going forward. And once again, I serve as his Bashar herald, because it is understanding what this Mizmor that is devoted from father to son, from Yah to Dode, represents in our lives that opens heaven's door. Those who were infected by Paul's plague of death, which is what Yahweh calls Paul, will die as a result of it. The New Testament is wrong. Annulling the Torah, forsaking, ignoring, and rejecting Yahweh's teaching and guidance is deadly. There is no cure, no salvation for those who fail to observe and appreciate God's means to resolve disputes, or who hold his clearly communicated prescriptions for living in contempt. Yahweh's mercy is not afforded to those who believe. It is not afforded to those who follow man's edicts. Yahweh's mercy is given to thousands amongst billions who embrace the instructive terms of his relationship agreement. That is the statement that he conveys in the second of three statements inscribed on the first of two tablets. It is our choice, but we will be held accountable for those we continue to make about father and son. Now, those who would ignore or purloin what was attributed to Dode to salvage their religious beliefs are not listening. They will either change their minds or they're out of their minds. Accordingly, my unwavering love, my enduring devotion, this is God speaking. This is God speaking. My unwavering love, enduring devotion, unmitigated favoritism, affection, and generosity, I will never remove from him or withdraw from being with him. He's now gone from telling us that he is Dode's father, that Dode is his son, that he is the anointed Messiah, that he is his chosen one, that he is the Zeruah sacrificial lamb. And now he's telling you, I am never going to remove my favoritism, my generosity, my unwavering love from him. I will never withdraw from being with him. So much for the Christian New Testament's proclamations, both by Paul and Peter, that Dode is dead and buried. Therefore, we can give everything that was promised to him to our misnomer, Iesus Christu. Not so fast. Yahweh says just the opposite. Dod is the center of Yahweh's affection, then, now, and forevermore. He is never going to remove from him or withdraw being with him, because God says, I will never communicate anything which is not true, nor will I ever contradict my steadfast commitment to the truth. God is dependable because he does not change. God is dependable because the statements he has made in the past are reliable in the future. If he said it then, he will honor it now. If he said it of Moshe, you can trust that it's true with Dod. If he said it of Dod, it would be true of the third Zeruah. God makes a commitment to certain individuals to convey his message and fulfill his mission, and he does not leave them, ever. He does not say, that was good enough, but gosh, I think there's somebody over here that might be smarter or prettier or more articulate, and I get bored. I think I'm going to go with somebody new. Never happens. And with Dod in particular, Yahweh will never distance himself from Dod. He will never offer anything that he has afforded Dod, and he has offered Dod every accolade, every exalting element of praise that is possible. He's gone so far as to call Dod God. And you can rest assured that he is not going to change, because God's word is always reliable, vindicating, validated, and true. Mizmor 89:33. This is also essential, because this means that the religions that claim these statements to be inspired by their God, which would be Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, are all wrong. I will never dishonor, God speaking again, nor will I ever betray. I will never poke holes in, lo chalal. I will never defile by treating as if it were common, and thus never go and poke holes in the fact that it is uniquely special, holding it in contempt, selling or desecrating it anyway. Nor will I creep loopholes that violate the nature of Bereth Ani, my covenant family. Nor will I ever alter, disguise, or change that which has gone forth from my lips. Do you understand that? The covenant will never change. There cannot be a new covenant, therefore a new testament. Full stop. You might say, wait a minute, what about in Zechariah, in the 31st chapter, I'm going to have a new covenant, and it's not going to be like the old one. Are you capable of reading? Anybody that would say that? Do you have any skills at all? Do you ever understand the concept of context? Do you ever read what God said? He introduced that passage and said, this is for Yisrael and Yehudim, not for a Gentile church. You're already disqualified. And that with Yisrael and with Yehudim, Yisrael, Israel, Yehudim, the beloved of Yah, Jews, I will renew Kadesh. I will restore. I will reaffirm my covenant. And then what he said is, that covenant is going to be different than what? The covenant he established with Abraham, as the Christianity requires? Hell no. It will be different than his interactions with the children of Israel as he literally drugged them, kicking and screaming, out of Mitzrayim. Why? Because when they were in Mitzrayim, they didn't know anything about God. They didn't know his name. They didn't know his Torah. They didn't know anything about the covenant. They knew nothing. They didn't understand Passover, matzah, bakurim. They didn't know anything. When it came to God, they were total and complete ignoramuses. Some of that hasn't changed much. And in addition, they not only didn't know God, they had a horrible attitude. They were corrupted with religion, and they were irascible. And so, as even as God is beginning just the process of freeing them from their taskmasters who had enslaved them for 80 years, they said, "Oh, we wish we had never been taken out of that place, and you're just going to get us all killed." Even before they crossed the Nuweiba Beach land bridge over the Gulf of Aqaba. And when Moshe first went up Mount Chorob to reveal the first insights of the Torah from Yahweh, they were already being religious. It was the real snake in the grass, Aaron, the adversarial alternative that led the charge to create a religious icon, the golden calf. And even shortly thereafter, when Yahweh says, "Listen, Moshe, I want them to know for certain that it is me, Yahweh, the God of the universe, that it is I who is inspiring you with these words. I'm going to do this for your credibility and for their benefit. So I want you to get them all cleaned up, and you bring them all together, and I'm going to share my relationship with you." And he did. And rather than saying, "Wow, isn't this great? God's here with us. He just saved us from the Egyptians. And he's choosing us to convey his teaching and guidance. And he's taking us to the promised land. Isn't this wonderful?" I said just the opposite. "Go away. We never want to see you again. We never want to hear your voice." Oh, bad as that is, it gets worse from there. So the difference in the covenant as it was expressed during the Exodus is the Israelites were total nincompoops, and they were abysmal in their attitude towards God. But God had a responsibility. So even though they didn't deserve it, he was going to honor the promise he had made to Abraham. He was going to honor the entire premise of his plan to us, and therefore fulfill all of the Moed Mikre on the right dates with the right people. The fact is, he had to drag the children of Israel with a firm hand. Free will couldn't apply at that moment. There'd be time for it later, but not then. And so that's the only difference. And then, yeah, it was very clear. He says that when he reaffirms his Torah, or reaffirms his covenant with his people, those who have chosen to be with him will have his Torah guidance written inside of us by God Almighty, literally becoming part of the fabric of our lives. So for those of you who'd say, "Oh yeah, he came up with a new covenant," you have to be completely ignorant and irrational. Well, you have to be religious and ignore all of the evidence to the contrary to make that statement. The same would be true if you favor a Talmud. "I will never alter, disguise, or change my family covenant, that which has gone forth from my lips." Moza, 89:34. Echad, there is only one. Be really careful. And we're going to talk about this more tonight. God very seldom works with a cast of characters. The audience may be a cast of characters, but when Yahweh chooses to speak to his people, he chooses one person. And that person doesn't have a cast around them, you know, with microphones. "Let me repeat what you said. Let me paraphrase what you said. Let me put what you just said into my own words. I want to have myself recognized as a conveyor of this testimony. I want to speak for God too." No. There was one Moshe. There was one Dode. There is one final Choder, Nakar, Kol, Bashar. Each head, there is only one. To whom I have affirmed the truth by having made a promise to my Kodesh Ani, my uniquely set apart nature. And if not to Dod, the beloved, I will be proven a liar. Therefore, every Christian, you're calling God a liar. Because you're saying that no, the Messiah isn't Dod, that the Son of God isn't Dod, that the Savior isn't Dod, that the prophet isn't Dod, that the one that matters isn't Dod. No, you're saying that no, you replaced him with Jesus, whatever his name is. No, you didn't. Oh, you did, but it was nothing but a crude counterfeit. There is no God in the New Testament. Just as there is no God in the Talmud. The covenant relationship, which God says, I will never change, has a singular person with whom Yahweh affirmed the truth, with whom Yahweh made this promise. Now you might say, wait a minute. We've got Abraham. Wasn't the covenant delivered through him? The terms and conditions and the benefits. By the way, I happen to be the first person in all of human history to explain that if you read through all of that account, there are five conditions and five benefits of participating in the covenant. I made these things very clear to all who will listen. The first person to explain that while the covenant was revealed in terms of its terms and conditions through Yahweh's interactions with Abraham, it was first chronicled in the covenant or in the Torah through Moshe. No Moshe, we don't even know it existed. Because of Moshe, we have the one and only covenant presented by the narrative between Yahweh and Abraham. But listening to what Yahweh had to say and being part of the narrative doesn't enable the covenant. No, you see, Yahweh said, I'm going to provide the lamb. Hadn't done so at that point. I'm going to provide the lamb. Then we have Moshe said, here it is. This is the whole narrative of the covenant. But he didn't fulfill it. The covenant wasn't enabled until Dod decided that he would serve as the Passover lamb, that he would fulfill matzah and carry our guilt into Sheol to deposit it there and never to be seen again, and that he would honor the title firstborn son by enabling firstborn children, Bokotam, in year 4000 Yah 33 CE. He alone did it. There was no fan club. There were no preachers. There were no rabbis. There were no other scribes. There were no other websites or Facebook pages or YouTube channels. There were no other voices. The only voice that actually described what Dod and Yahweh accomplished in year 4000 Yah was written by Dod in his Mizmor. There's only one through whom I have affirmed the truth and have made promises, my Kodesh Ani, my uniquely set apart nature. If not to Dod, the beloved, I will be proven a liar. I shared with you that my mission is very simple. God has equipped me and tasked me with the responsibility to reintroduce his name to his people, to reacquaint his people with their Messiah, the Son of God, and our Savior, Dod, and then to call them home. And as part of that responsibility, I must also expose and condemn the religions of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, which clutter the way, so that people don't stumble through that trash and can actually see the truth after all the rubbish has been moved away. Are you listening? Do you know who your Savior is now? Do you know the name of your Messiah? Do you know the name of your King? Do you know the name of the shepherd and the sacrificial lamb? Because Yahweh does. His name is Dod. And I am certain, well, Yahweh and I have a pretty good relationship. We've been together through thick and thin for, well, now 23 years. We're going to be co-workers together forever. And I was assigned the responsibility of serving as Dod's herald, his bashar, his associate. I work for him. So I've gotten to know him pretty well. And I can assure you, Yahweh loves Dod more than anyone who has ever lived. They are the ultimate team and collaborators for all things that are worthy in our lives. And my life is devoted to telling you about it. The realization that Dod is the chosen one. The Dod is the Zeruah sacrificial lamb. The Dod was and will always be the Messiah. The Dod is the beloved Son of God. The Dod fulfilled Pesach, Matzah and Bikurim in his second of three lives. Collectively, these things, along with Yahweh's name, and an understanding of what each of the seven Moed Mikre represent, collectively, this is the greatest and most valuable discovery in human history. And there's one person, Yiched Ani, that figured it out with God's inspiration and with God's empowerment, is bringing that knowledge to you. What you choose to do with it now is up to you. You can be like Wookiee here and sleep through the whole thing. You can be like so many others and say, I want part of that too. You know, God doesn't just speak through one person. I want to speak for him too. Or you can speak against him by being religious and political. Or you can do even worse. You can be a progressive or a Muslim and try to annihilate God's people. There are consequences of all of these things, just as there is a result for those who embrace everything Father and Son have accomplished together. God is not a liar. And so you cannot prove him a liar, because all of the promises he has made to Dod David ring true. You know, by itself, this would rank among Yahweh's most influential statements, certainly one of his most dramatic. However, when combined with others that he has made throughout Dod's song, God's citations speak more persuasively, more passionately than anything God or man has ever said prior. I was told by a number of people who watched the last program, we'll call it the first of the white shirt program, Lavender here today, that was the most engaging and passionate presentation of Yahweh's message to his people that he had ever witnessed. But I'm here to tell you that no matter how passionate, how excited I am, how bold I am in conveying the importance of Dod and your survival and Israel's survival, the planet's survival, I can't even come close to Yahweh's enthusiasm and passion, his love for Dod, his son. So collectively, these words are life-changing. I'm going to go through some of what we have read and heard so far in the 89th Mizmor Dod song. I have established cutting through separation, the Bereth covenant for the family home through Ani Bachar, my chosen one, the person I prefer and have decided upon. I have sworn an oath, and I will affirm this promise seven times over, to Dod, the beloved, Ebed Ani, my authorized agent and co-worker, who I collaborated with and who serves on my behalf. Forevermore, as an Ad Olam, eternal witness to the restoring testimony, I will prepare and establish your offspring and that which you sow. In addition, I will construct a home for your throne, for your seat of honor, and establish all generations based upon it throughout time. Therefore, in relation to this, logically, you spoke in a revelation to your Bokhadim, your chosen and tested one, saying, I have equated and bestowed assistance, supplying what is needed on behalf of the Gibor, the most courageous and capable of men. Toad, I have raised and exalted the Bachar, the chosen one, from among the people. I have discovered and then made known. I have encountered, I have experienced, I have exposed Dod. David. Ebed Ani, my co-worker, out of Shemen Kodesh Ani, my set-apart oil. I have Mashach, anointed him, so that to show the way to the benefits of the relationship, my hand and influence will be established and steadfast, authorized and unwavering with you. In addition, beyond this, Ani Zeroah, my protective shepherd, my strong arm and sacrificial lamb, the one who cultivates the seeds for a productive harvest, will empower and embolden you, will strengthen you, while enabling your growth. Therefore, my steadfast commitment to the truth and my unwavering love, persistent devotion, and enduring favoritism, my ongoing affection and genuine favoritism, my love, are with him. In my name, his light will radiate and enlighten, his brilliant horn, symbolic of his status and strength, and his role as the protective ram among the sheep during Teruah, will be lifted up, raised on high, and exalted. He himself will call out to me and welcome me, announcing, you are my father. And I also will bestow him as a gift, appointing and making him Bakor Ani, my firstborn son, as Elion, Almighty God, the highest and uppermost in comparison to all of the rulers of the earth. Accordingly, my unwavering love, enduring devotion, unmitigated favoritism, affection, and generosity, I will never revoke, disassociate, or remove from him, nor withdraw from being with him. I will never betray who I am by communicating something which is misleading or untrue, nor will I ever contradict or undermine my steadfast commitment to uphold the truth and remain accurate and reliable. I will never dishonor or betray, nor will I create loopholes which alter my covenant family, nor will I ever alter, disguise or change, rearrange, modify or duplicate that which has gone forth from my lips. Echad, there is only one to whom I have affirmed the truth by having made a promise, thereby validating my commitment, which will be affirmed seven times over by Kodesh Ani, my uniquely set apart nature, if not to, through. And regarding Dod, the beloved, I am delusional and will be proven a liar. Mizmor 89 up through the 35th statement. This is a bright line drawn by God in the sands of time. Presented in year 3000, Yah, 968 BCE, exactly 3,000 years after we were escorted out of Eden, and exactly 3,000 years before we will return to the garden. It is the centerpiece of all time as it relates to our relationship with Yahweh. Yahweh undeniably and unequivocally presented his most impassioned plea to his people. His focus was on his family and his foremost son. This is the cornerstone of the family home for Yahweh's name, which was laid on Mount Moriah, and which everyone unfortunately has rejected until now. Gaze upon, doubt, the cornerstone of the home for Yahweh's name. Had Yehudim Jews listened, had they embraced and accepted Yahweh's approach to Dod and to the covenant, Yisrael would have remained the brightest light in what would have then been an enlightened world. The assaults of the Assyrians, the Egyptians, Babylonians, Macedonians, and Romans would never have occurred. Dod's return to fulfill the first three Moedim would have been celebrated with God's people flocking to the covenant. Paul would have been immediately rebuked and discredited such that Christianity would never have existed. Akiba and his false Messiah, Bar Kokhba, would have gone unheralded, nipping the emergence of Judaism in the bud. There would have been no diaspora and no oppression in Europe over the millennia. Without rabbis and their Talmud, Muhammad would not have had sufficient material to flesh out his Quran, and Islam would have died in Petra. There would have been no Dome of the Rock, no Al-Aqsa Mosque, no Islamic terrorism, no Al-Aqsa flood, and the maiming of so many, and the abduction of so many, the rape of so many precious Jewish lives on 10/7/23. Moreover, had Jews recognized their Messiah when he was here last, nearly 2,000 years ago, had they accepted what Dod means in their lives, had they not erased Yahweh's name from their lives, the Holocaust would never have occurred. Of all the things to ignore, these declarations from Yahweh were the costliest and the most debilitating of all time. The relationship God intended was replaced by religion, and humankind suffered, estranged from Yah as a consequence. This is in your face. It is against the very existence of the Haredi cult and the Christian cult. Both religious groups have done this to themselves, necessitating Yahweh's rebuke. You who are demanding that God change everything he has said and done to accommodate you and your perverted religions are disgusting and wrong. It is you who have called God a liar through your Talmud and New Testament. It is you who have replaced Yahweh's covenant with one of your own, poking holes in his in the process of defiling it. God has but one name, and it's way past time that his people in the world know it, acknowledge it, use it, pronounce it, love it, stop erasing it. God's name is Yahweh. Judaism is flat out wrong. God has a beloved son. He said so. His name is Dod. There is one Messiah, one Son of God, one returning King of Kings, one sacrificial lamb that fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, Bikurim, one chosen one. His name is Dod. It isn't Bar Kokhba. It isn't Iesu Christu. It sure as hell ain't Muhammad. Wake up. Listen to what God said. This is so profound. These lyrics were written by the Creator himself to deliver you from yourselves, to offer you direct access into his home, to be part of his covenant family, to be enriched and empowered by him forevermore. He is offering you the greatest gift in the history of the universe. He's paid the price. He's handing it to you. And yet the religious have spit in his face, called him a liar, erased his name, replaced everything he said with crude counterfeits. Stop it. Start listening. Be responsive. Your soul is worth saving. Your country should endure, as should the planet. But the only way that's going to happen is for a significant number of you to listen to what God is inspiring me to tell you about his name, his son, his Bereth covenant, his Moed Mikre, and what they all mean to his people. I am Yada, Craig Wynn, and this has been the 9th episode of Dode's Song in the Yahweh Blog.